Hey there. Ready to flex those laugh muscles a bit?
Always up for that.
Today's deep dive, it isn't about telling jokes though, even though, well, we might sneak some in.
It wouldn't be a deep dive on humor without a few laughs along the way, right?
Exactly. We're tackling humor itself, how it affects us in surprising ways, all backed by some fascinating research we dug up.
And it goes way beyond just stand-up routines or funny movies. We're talking about how humor is woven into, the fabric of how we experience the world.
Right. We found a really cool mix of sources for this one, some philosophical excerpts that get into the nitty-gritty of why we find things funny.
Because there's actually a lot more to it than you might think.
And then we've got this consumer behavior study that blew my mind. It's
Yeah.
all about how humor influences our choices as, well, consumers.
Which is basically all of us,
Oh,
right?
yeah, pretty much. So get ready for some aha moments because this deep dive gets, well, deep.
What I find fascinating is how much we underestimate humor. It seems so, I don't know, surface level.
Totally.
But these sources show it's tied to how we understand ourselves, how we connect with others, even how we make decisions, for better or worse.
It's true. And the philosophy excerpts we found really lay the groundwork there. Like, one big idea is that humor helps us understand ourselves, sure, but also society as a whole.
It's like this shared language we all speak, or at least try to speak.
Yeah. And sometimes it gets lost in translation, right?
All the time, which the research actually talks about. Translating humor can be so tricky because it relies on shared expectations, cultural context, all those things.
It's so true. Think about a joke that kills in your friend group. You know, everyone's dying laughing. It works because you've got that shared history, the inside jokes. But try explaining that same joke to someone new, someone who wasn't there.
It falls flat.
Totally, because they're missing that context, that shared understanding.
Exactly. And that's where this thing called the incongruity theory comes in. Basically, it says that humor comes from surprise. We laugh when our expectations are disrupted. But it's got to be a safe disruption, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be within a framework we all understand.
Okay, so like, give me an example. Make this concrete.
Okay, imagine someone showing up to a casual brunch in a full tuxedo.
Okay.
Funny, right?
All right.
But only because we collectively agree that formal wear is totally out of place at brunch. If tuxedos were the norm, nobody would even blink.
That's such a good point. It's like, the humor comes from knowing the rules well enough to appreciate when they're bent, not completely broken.
Exactly. And this gets even more interesting when you start thinking about humor's role in social groups, which the research digs into as well.
Yeah, because suddenly it's not just about knowing the rules, but who's allowed to break them, right?
Right. Like there's this whole thing about playful teasing actually being a sign of acceptance in a group.
It's true. It's like, hey, I'm comfortable enough with you to poke fun, and I trust you to know I'm not actually being mean.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That same in on the joke can exclude others just as easily as it can welcome them in.
Oh, 100%. It's
Yeah,
all about context.
exactly. Take, say, ethnic humor as an example. Within a group that shares that identity, certain jokes can be hilarious. But used by outsiders, it often just reinforces harmful stereotypes and prejudice.
Oh, for sure. Like, the source we read even mentions how some Jewish comedians use Jewish mother jokes as part of their routine, right?
Right.
And it lands differently coming from within that community versus someone using it to mock, put down.
Exactly. It's less about what's said and more about the power dynamics at play. Who's laughing and at whose expense? That can be the difference between a harmless joke and reinforcing a harmful stereotype.
No, get this. The philosophy stuff also said that laughter, it's not just in our heads, it's physical.
Oh, yeah. Our bodies are totally involved.
Like, we laugh when our ingrained habits, the way we expect things to go, get disrupted. Like, our brains short-circuiting on autopilot.
It's true. It's such a visceral reaction.
Remember that time you were, I don't know, traveling abroad maybe, and you tried to order something familiar,
Uh-oh.
but because of the language barrier, you ended up with something totally different. Stressful in the moment, I bet, but hilarious looking back,
Well,
right?
the stories I could tell. Yeah, it's funny how that works.
It's like your brain was going, wait, this isn't how this is supposed to go. And then later, with some safe distance, that same disruption becomes funny.
It's like your brain is saying, remember how worked up we got over nothing? Silly us.
It's like our brain needs that little wait, what moment to break free from routines, a mini vacation from overthinking.
That's a great way to put it. Humor lets us step outside our usual way of seeing things and find the funny side of our own expectations.
Okay, so we've been deep in the philosophy of laughter here, which is surprisingly fascinating.
Right. Who knew?
But let's shift gears a bit and bring in that consumer behavior research we mentioned. Get ready to see how a good chuckle can impact your shopping cart.
This is where it gets really practical. We're going from these big picture ideas about humor to the nitty-gritty of how it shapes our everyday choices as consumers.
Totally. But before we get lost in the findings, let's define some key terms so we're all on the same page.
Good call. Gotta lay the groundwork.
Right. So they make this distinction between comedy.
The thing itself.
Yes. The actual joke, movie, whatever is meant to be funny. And then humor appreciation.
Which is how we respond to it. Because what one person finds hilarious.
Someone else is cringing.
Exactly. Our personality, culture, even just our mood in that moment can totally change how funny we find something.
So true. And speaking of different types of humor.
Slapstick, satire, puns, the list goes on.
The study actually breaks them down even further, which we'll get into because it really affects the results. But keep that in mind. Now let's actually dive into those findings.
Let's do it.
One big area they looked at is how humor influences our experiences of pleasure and pain, which is huge in the world of buying and selling.
Because nobody wants to buy from a downer, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. So they found that humor appreciation, a good laugh, basically makes good experiences even more enjoyable.
It's like the cherry on top.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine you're at a concert, right? The music's great, the energy is high. But then the band throws in some hilarious stage banter between songs.
Adding to the experience.
Yes. It's like adding an extra layer of fun on top of something that's already awesome.
It's like adding spice to a dish that already tastes amazing.
Perfect analogy.
And on the flip side, humor helps us cope with those not so great experiences too.
Oh, absolutely. Picture this. You're running late, stuck in traffic, and bam, flat tire.
The worst.
The worst. Not fun at all. But if you can find a way to laugh about the absurdity of it all, you know, maybe while you're on hold with roadside assistance, it takes the edge off, right?
Totally. It's like you're reframing the situation, not letting it get to you as much.
Exactly. And it's not just a temporary mood boost either. The study suggests that humor actually helps us reappraise those tough situations to see them in a new light.
It's powerful stuff.
So next time you're facing a challenge, try to find the humor in it. It might just help you cope.
Definitely. It goes back to that idea we talked about earlier, about humor being a break from our usual way of seeing things. It allows us to step outside ourselves for a second and go, okay, this is rough, but this is also kind of funny.
Mm. So is laughter truly the best medicine? Well, the research gets a little more complicated than that, but we'll get into all that right after this. Okay, so we've seen how laughter can make good times even better and bad times a bit easier to stomach.
Helps to have a sense of humor about things, right?
Right. But does laughing, does it actually make us, like, think better? Does a good chuckle actually boost our brain power?
That's the million-dollar question. And honestly, the research is all over the place on that one.
Yeah, it's not a simple answer.
Not at all. And this is where that consumer behavior study we mentioned really digs into the nitty-gritty of decision-making. Because on the one hand, we know humor helps us remember things.
Oh, tell me about it. Those catchy jingles, funny ad campaigns.
They stick with you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm still singing that one jingle from the 90s, and I bet you know exactly which one I'm talking about.
Probably. But there's a catch.
Ooh.
While we're busy remembering the funny bits, the punchlines, the silly voices, we might be forgetting other important information.
It's like we remember the joke from the ad, but not the actual product they were trying to sell us.
It's like a magician using misdirection.
Mm.
We're so focused on the dazzling trick, the humor, that we miss the subtle moves, the crucial details.
So it's not always the best marketing strategy then. I mean, if we just remember the joke and not the product.
It's a gamble. But what about creativity? Can humor actually make us more innovative thinkers? That's another angle the study looked at.
Did it work? Did they find like a humor creativity connection?
That's where those different types of humor we talked about really come into play. Remember, we'll be unpacking those more later. But the study found that, yeah, some styles of humor seem to boost creative thinking more than others.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Nope. A well-placed pun might spark a new idea in a brainstorming session, while a slapstick routine might just distract everyone from the task at hand. It's all about finding the right type of humor for the situation.
Which I'm realizing now is probably why we have so many different types of humor.
Right. Different tools for different jobs. But it definitely suggests we should be mindful of what kind of humor we're exposed to when we're trying to be productive, make important decisions.
So, like, maybe hold off on the stand-up comedy marathon until after that big presentation at work.
Exactly. Speaking of decisions, the study also looked at this whole dilemma of how we balance the enjoyment of humor, having a good laugh, with actually achieving our goals.
Because as much as I love a good laugh, I can definitely see how too much humor could be counterproductive.
It's all about finding that balance, right? Like, some humor can be a great motivator, keeps things light, helps us power through those tedious tasks.
Like rewarding yourself with a funny video after, like, an hour of work.
Exactly. But then, you know, you spend the next 3 hours watching funny cat videos instead of finishing that report that's due.
Been there.
Right. It's about finding that sweet spot where humor enhances our focus and productivity,
yeah,
not derail it completely.
Okay, but that brings up a good point, because aren't there times when we want humor to, like, derail us a bit, like help us unwind, de-stress?
Absolutely. And that's where understanding yourself is key. How easily are you distracted by humor? Are you someone who remembers the jokes from a lecture more than the actual lecture content?
Guilty as charged.
Right. Or maybe you're like those study participants who ate way more snacks during a comedy show than they would have otherwise. It's about being self-aware.
Okay, so self-awareness is key. Got it. But what about humor and, like, our physical health? Is laughter really the best medicine, like they say?
Well, like most things with humor, it's not quite that straightforward. The research is actually pretty inconclusive on that front.
Really? I always thought there was something to that whole laughter is the best medicine thing.
It makes sense, right? Laughter feels good. And we know there are physiological effects. Like, when we laugh, our brains release endorphins, we reduce stress hormones, there's a sense of relaxation.
So it does do something positive.
Oh, absolutely. But when researchers have looked at things like, does laughter actually boost your immune system? Does it make you less likely to get a cold?
Man.
The results are mixed. Some studies show a possible link. Others show absolutely nothing.
So frustrating. Why is it so hard to pin down?
Well, think about it. The human body is incredibly complex. And humor, while it feels simple, actually involves a bunch of different brain processes, social dynamics.
So it's not as simple as tell a joke, cure a cold.
Not quite. What seems more likely, based on the research, is that humor's influence on physical health is more indirect. Like, if it helps us manage stress better, which a lot of studies support, that can have cascading benefits for our overall well-being. But we shouldn't expect laughter to magically cure diseases.
So it's more like a lifestyle factor than a, I don't know, a miracle cure.
Exactly. Something that can contribute to a healthier, happier life overall. But when it comes to mental health, the connection does seem a bit more direct, a bit more promising, you know?
Really? Tell me more about that.
This is where the research gets really interesting. Positive humor, think lighthearted jokes, playful banter, stuff like that, seems to have a real, tangible, positive effect on stress and anxiety.
So, like, watching a funny movie after a stressful day could actually help?
Potentially. It's not a cure-all, of course, and shouldn't replace things like therapy or medication if those are needed. But it's a valuable tool to have in your mental health toolkit.
I like that. A mental health toolkit. So it's not about replacing other things, but more about adding another tool to the mix.
Exactly. And speaking of well-being, let's move on to one area where the benefits of humor are undeniable, its impact on our social lives.
Okay, so we've seen how humor, it can boost our mood, right?
Yeah.
Helps us deal with tough situations.
And just makes life more enjoyable overall, I'd say.
Right. But where humor really shines, where it really flexes its muscles, is in bringing people together.
Absolutely. It's like this superpower humor has to cut through awkwardness to build bridges, to strengthen bonds.
And the crazy thing is, it's not just a human thing either. The study mentioned this fascinating research on chimpanzees, and it really got me thinking.
Oh, yeah. What was it about?
So they took these chimps, right? And they deprived them of play.
Deprived them of play, like they weren't allowed to have fun.
Essentially. Which for chimps, play is their version of humor, you know? It's how they goof off, how they test boundaries, all that good stuff.
Okay, so they kept them from playing. What happened?
Well, they grew up with all these social problems. They couldn't cooperate with other chimps. They struggled to compete. They even had trouble forming, like, basic bonds.
Wow, so it's like play or humor in the chimp world. It's not just about having a good time. It's actually crucial for their social development.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, right, if the same principle applies to us humans.
I mean, it makes sense. Think about it. When was the last time you had a really good laugh with someone?
Oh, just this morning, actually. My kid said something ridiculous at breakfast.
Right. and you shared that moment of laughter, that connection, it probably brightened both your days, even if just a little bit.
Totally. And it's those little moments, those shared laughs, that really add up over time. They build trust. They help smooth over disagreements.
And let's be honest, they make us more fun to be around. Who doesn't want to be the person who brings a little laughter into the room?
It's true. And speaking of being fun to be around, the research also found that humor can actually make us seem more, I don't know, attractive to others.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes sense if you think about it. Someone who can laugh at themselves, who can find humor in everyday situations.
It's a sign of intelligence. Emotional intelligence, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It shows you don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
That you're able to find joy even when things get tough. And honestly, who wouldn't want to be around someone like that?
Right. It's like that old saying, laughter is the best medicine. Maybe not literally for all things, but...
But for the soul. For our connections with each other, I think there's something to that.
I think so, too. And hey, that's a pretty good note to wrap up this deep dive on, don't you think?
I think so. We've covered a lot of ground, from the philosophy of laughter to the psychology of decision-making.
We've looked at how humor affects our brains, our bodies, our social lives, even our wallets.
And through it all, I think what stands out most to me is how powerful a tool humor can be. In the right hands, of course.
For sure. It's not always easy to find the right kind of humor for every situation, to walk that line between funny and offensive, to know when to crack a joke and when to be serious. But if we can learn to use humor thoughtfully, with kindness and awareness...
It has the potential to transform not just our own lives, but the world around us.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So, until next time, dear listeners, remember, keep laughing, keep connecting, and keep exploring the wonderful world of humor.